know how the vote is going to come out on this, but in fairness...
Well, Katrina's, and we were at the point where there was this compromise, and I said I wasn't happy with it, was abandoning the fight. If there was still like a 20-minute discussion of the procedure, but that I was saying I'm not going to keep fighting. You know, Mike's claiming that if nothing gets two-thirds, then his opinion is correct. And I'm not going to keep fighting that point, even though I strenuously disagree. Now, because I said that, you're going back to something that was before the compromise, which is all the way back to Warner. So then you're going to lose all the people who were voting no on the first time, you know, who didn't like it the first time. You know, why don't you go to what Greg said? I mean, that was the actual agenda amendment on the table. I'm not happy with it, but it's better than what you're saying, because I'll vote no on the second, on the one you're saying.
And Warner, you,
yes,
you
understand, correct?
Casey, I'm your next.
Question. There were several Philly amendments and proposals. Where will they fit in and what you're doing? Because I don't hear that you've suggested anything based on the seven people that stood up and gave you friendly amendments or suggestions. Are you just going to ignore that?
I'm not ignoring them. I've considered every single one of them. I haven't specifically said no, 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 because I wanted to keep them in my mind as possibilities for later. I know people have talked about moving it around and doing all of this sort of stuff. For now, I'm rejecting those suggestions, but I may take them up later as the body, you know, informs me and so forth. I'm basically rejecting those because I don't think that the order in here is what's hanging people up. That doesn't seem to be the real reason why people are voting no. I don't think people are voting no because this isn't up here or this isn't down there. You know, I think we need to find out why people are voting no and fix that.
Okay, let's get a clarification here. Warner, please tell us what the proposal is that's there. Or Michael, if you can explain what's there in Warner's proposal.
I can't explain what's in Warner's proposal. I think our problem is we keep getting into his proposal.
Okay,
we shouldn't.
My question, Warner, is has it changed from what's on the piece of paper?
The proposal as it stands now is what was published in the agenda packet. If the group was agreeable to setting aside the agenda, I would amend my proposal to have this body consider the GPUS a delegate election, and then the proposal. And what I would do is I would amend the proposal in my presentation to make a direct proposal for a consensus-based adoption of a list of the five candidates that were recommended plus two additional candidates.
And what if there was no consensus?
Then we would have to go to a vote, and our normal two-thirds threshold would apply unless someone insisted it was a policy matter, which would raise it to 80%.
All right. Does that address the concerns raised by Kat in KCM?
Probably not.
Okay.
Folks, I have to say something here. I mean, this is what sort of gets me as the presenter on this, is that people don't seem to be able to distinguish in their minds the difference between approving, having this item on the agenda for discussion, and getting into the agenda item in advance and changing it around before you vote on it for the agenda. Okay, every single suggested change that people have come up with, they could come up with when we get to this item. You don't have to do this during the agenda discussion.
Okay, let's do a stack here of concerns. Greg, let's cut it to 30 seconds now.
Okay, this is from Michael Wyman. I would agree with what you said, except for...
Excuse me. Okay, but please do not shout out. Okay, now excuse me. Greg's been interrupted. So what's the point of clarification?
Point of clarification is, you say it can be amended once the item comes up. My understanding is that the power of the presenter to control friendly amendments is part of the nub of this disagreement that you're ignoring.
Is that?
Well,
yes,
okay.
It's
a trust issue.
Yes. Okay, thanks for that
reminder.
Okay, great.
Well, before I speak, do you accept that as a friendly amendment so that the General Assembly has the control of the item rather than the presenter?
I accepted that originally, and people voted no because I accepted that.
No, that's not why we voted no.
Okay, then the part of this that I, friendly amendment that I originally accepted that says you have control is still in there.
Okay.
I'm confused because what I heard you say is that it's the same. What myself and other people wanted to do was move it out so that we can accomplish something. Move this, the only change would be moving it where it is in the agenda. Just move it out of the way so some things like the delegation and these other things can be taken care of. I think that's really important. And it's not stuck on the no and the mic and the cat. It's about we as a party moving forward. We have to learn how to lead. And sometimes that means making adjustments. Not hearing everything and not doing anything, but actually making adjustments. So again, I want to urge you to move that whole piece further so we can accomplish something. We can leave here and say, we got our delegates, we got this, we got that, 30 seconds.
Let me see if I understand what you say, because you still, well, I definitely don't.
Yeah, obviously.
What you have said confuses
me. No, obviously.
Excuse me, one person at a time, please. Michael, please, let Michael make his point.
You're saying, what I think you're saying is, we remove this, put it over here, approve everything else.
No.
Okay. That's why we're confused. So
and that's why
you
can have.
Okay.
Just move that portion to another time slot. It's that simple.
Tell
and us accomplish. Move it to what I said to 3:45 or whatever. Yeah, 20. Move it behind so that we can accomplish something. Because those things just need some things need to happen.
So you think that if we move this down here, this agenda will be passed.
I honestly do, because by the time we get to it, we would have had some level of working together then that would build the momentum for growth.
Okay, but Casey, we're actually approving the agenda now.
And that's my point. That's a piece that as is, let's say you had 7 people, not just me. Other people made great suggestions to move it. It's not stuck on where you think it's
I will accept that.
Thank
we
you.
Will reverse presidential ballot with breakout sessions.
Quietly.
Breakout sessions are in here. Presidential ballot is
coming. Quietly. There was a friendly amendment. It's been accepted. And we have some excuses. If there's a point of the process, please let me know. Okay. We have the next person on stag, and we're at 30 seconds.
Thank you. Mike Wyman, I don't want to just assume this. I want your reassurance that whatever we approve for this agenda, assuming we can, that will adjust to the whole thing forward according to what time it is. It's 2:40. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, I just would like to get on with this. And we seem to have a lot of important issues. I mean, and the plans are important, but more to me, the presidential ballot is super high priority, and the delegate is super high priority. We have 142 delegates. And it just seems to me to come together and figure out a way to get going. And personally, I disagree that that should be moved. I think that's a super high priority. And it should have delegates, but they need time to fill out the forms over the next few hours for the IRB of local delegates. And then we really need time.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Okay, the friendly amendment has been adopted. And we're going to see consensus on the new agenda, as soon as it's clarified.
Presidential ballot, 3rd, 4:15 to 5:15, and at 5:15 we have the host report.
Okay, are there any point of process, KCM?
Like I didn't address
delegation.
The delegation remains where it is. Are you asking us to move that to the bottom?
Sanda, that's your concern?
Yeah.
Okay, are there any outstanding concerns on the new agenda?
Yes.
Okay, please go up and state them. Now we have both Mike and Kat without any concerns. Okay, please go up on the line.
I think for 138,000 Greens in the state of California is depending on us to deal with the presidential ballot line. And it's nice that a handful of us want to go to working group sessions, but frankly, our primary responsibility here, we get nothing else done. It's a presidential thing. It's a risk getting near the end of the day. We're coming to 6 o'clock and going to dinner because we won't get to a decision on that. And then tomorrow, not everybody's going to stay. It's just insane.
Okay, Jim? So we're at 30 seconds now.
Yeah, that's the same concern you have to ask. That experience has shown us that it's a very bad idea to put the important issues of the, at the end of the...
Right.
Okay, Kat.
Yeah, if we get one thing decided, it should be the presidential primary ballot, not having more fingers.
Okay. So I take it those friendly amendments to move it again,
Mike?
To move it back to where it was?
Yeah.
The difference is now we'll get consensus.
But let us vote the delegation first.
Okay, let's rearrange it. There's been a friendly amendment. Mike is considering it.
Okay, we have two friendly amendments on the floor. One is to have presidential ballot last and breakout sessions before that. Okay? The other friendly amendment is to have the presidential ballot before the breakout sessions. Okay, I'm going to ask the GA for guidance on this in terms of what you want to do. I'm just asking for a show of hands. Who wants to do the presidential ballot before the breakout sessions? Okay. Hands down. Everybody hands down. Especially the person in the back with their hand up. Hands up. Who wants to take the breakout sessions first and the presidential ballot second? KCM?
No, this is why I did it, to get people to move forward.
No
politics. Okay. We are accepting the friendly amendment that the presidential ballot be done before the breakout session. Okay, so now we're going to, Mike is going to rearrange it, and then we're going to reach consensus, because as far as I can tell, everyone's happy now. Okay, we have a, Mike is going to now summarize the new agenda. I have to do it every time.
Okay. Agenda approval. GPUS delegation.
Stay quiet, please.
Consent calendar. Presidential ballot proposal, CCWG. Breakout sessions. Post report. Then there are the regional caucuses and dinner.
Are there any outstanding concerns? Okay, we have consensus. Okay, so what's next on the agenda?
We built beat Fillmore by 18 minutes.
Okay. What's next on the agenda?
GPUS delegation.
Somebody call GPUS delegation? Tell me, who's presenting?
Let me explain how the all
Because of the last election, I feel like I didn't explain it very carefully, and a lot of people only voted for a few people. And what that happened is we lost two people who would have been delegates who didn't get enough votes. So everybody needs to vote on everybody unless you really feel that you don't want that person to represent you and the Green Party in the United States.
Okay, yeah, we do this on one ballot. So the candidates have said whether they're running for delegate or all. But you rank them all based on, you know, whether you want them or not, you know, in the order that you prefer them. You rank them like, you know, on one ballot. Then we run the election for the delegate seat, and the people who are actually running for delegate, you know, we run them through, whoever wins those seats, fine. Then we withdraw them from the next all selection, and anybody who's running for all, if they're running for that, you know, if they said, well, if I didn't get a delegate seat, I want to run for all, then we put them in the next election, and we fill the all seats. The point Sando was trying to make is that because it's an SCB election, you have to pass a certain threshold to, because of the way, the type of SPD we use, you have to pass a certain threshold to win a seat. So if you don't rank a candidate, you were saying you find that candidate unacceptable. So if you're just neutral on a candidate, please rank them anyway. Because, you know, otherwise you say you just don't want them on. If you really don't want them on, then don't rank them. But if you just like, oh, you know, I'm sort of neutral on them, or I can't decide between these two, just toss a coin and make one two and one three. Or you don't know them. You know, or go read their bio. Go read their bio in the plenary packet. But you know, find out enough to be able to rank them. You know, and try to only leave someone with no ranking at all if you really think, no, I really don't want that person to be a delegate or an all.
So we're going to hand out the ballot, and you'll be handing your ballot back in with your delegate card. You'll to Craig, and Craig is going to...
Thank you. I can only accept ballots from the person with their delegate card. I invite as many observers as would like to observe the receipt of the ballots. They have to be in by what time?
Well, I was thinking we're going to go to the consent calendar. If people could get them in maybe before we start this presidential ballot conversation, like this next hour, that would be nice.
But the solicitors will give a 5-minute warning.
Yeah, good idea.
But once the election, once those ballots have stopped being received, I cannot take any more. We will not be doing the count here this afternoon because of technological problems, but they will be kept safe and they will be...
No, we do plan to do it. We just don't know how it's going to happen yet.
I'm just saying, we can't do it right now. We can't be assured of the results being announced today.
Okay, so to re-clarify, we have six open seats and quite a few people running. Everyone must be ranked. Is that correct, Sando?
Well, they cannot rank someone. Unless they're saying something.
If you read through the bios, I don't know who a lot of these people are myself. There's only four of them in the room right now. But if you read their bios, they all sound like incredible Green Party activists. And, you know, unless you know them personally, you're not going to know what that person is. You know, you're really not a random
person. Okay, but this is for six open seats, and there look like about 18 people.
No, and 30 at the end. Oh,
and all.
Alternate.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Thank you. So if you all hold up your...
that would be interesting. We did get a concern that perhaps the people who are running would like to identify themselves to the room. If you're running for a GPUSC, will we stand up? All right. Okay. Would people like to come up and give us a little pep talk to us about themselves?
No.
No? Okay. Okay. How about everybody's name?
Quietly, there's been a request that the candidates who are here just give
your name.
What do we got, 30 seconds?
No, just your name.
Oh, okay. My name is Jim Dorncat, and I'm from San Francisco.
Thank you. Who else is here this morning? You don't even need to come to the mic if you want to shout it.
Hi, John Morton,
Alameda County. John Morton? Anyone else? Okay.
Oh, I have a quick announcement. I didn't notice this.
Byron DeLeary is now a Democrat. And he's a
We have a point of processing.
About public alterations that have occurred since the agenda packet was published.
Oh, there you are. How are you doing? I had it off for a little while. It's turned back on. Well, what happened?
Okay, the only change that we have agreed to is on item 10. We've deleted for victims of assault and replaced that for all and deleted the last sentence. I'll repeat that. Number 10 now reads, we support reimbursement of health care costs for all, including costs of therapy to treat psychological damage, mental distress and traumatic shock, as well as the physical effects. And the last sentence is deleted.
I didn't really see that.
Are there any concerns?
It doesn't tighten up.
Okay, that's adopted by consensus.
The next platform plank is on California secrecy. It's on page 7 of the agenda packet. The first change is in the last sentence of the law enforcement sector. Instead of saying this state of affairs, that's replaced by secrecy. So in other words, that last sentence reads, secrecy must end to achieve open government and to dispel the appearance of a police state.
Lie quiet, please.
Anyway, this prologue here isn't actually going to show up in the published blanket anyway. However, in the proposal part on the agenda packet page 7, struck out item 4 and everything else is renumbered.
Here's a point of process.
Struck out number 4.
Oh, thanks.
Just to repeat, item 1 on the consent calendar was adopted. We're now on item 2.
So item 4 on agenda packet page 7, which states certain support of an interim measure ballot initiative to establish a three-strike process and ending up then non-police citizens being struck.
Okay, are there any objections to this as it stands? And it passes.
So
In the GMO plant. Which begins on page 9 in the agenda packet. The note has been struck out because that would not appear in the final packet anyway. In the proposal on page 10, there are changes essentially to the first set of paragraphs, and I'll read them out. GPCA shall support and encourage efforts to impose moratoriums on and to oppose policies that promote the indiscriminate use of GMOs, cloned animals and their products. The new wording is impose moratoriums on and to. The very first line of the proposal.
Page 10.
GPCA shall support and encourage efforts to impose moratoriums on and to oppose policies and so on and so on. So the new wording is impose moratoriums on and to. The new wording follows from the current last sentence as described below. This is the new wording. Scientific advances may allow benefits to arise from GMOs and cloning, and in that case, safety requirements must be passed.
Okay, where are you at?
This is new wording.
Where?
In the first paragraph, after as described below.
Where?
In the first paragraph of the page 10 of the.
And it's the first paragraph of the proposal itself.
So the new wording after as described below is scientific advances may allow benefits to arise from GMOs and cloning, and in that case, safety requirements must be passed. Then consumers must be notified of products with GMOs and from cloning. Okay, the next new thing is a new number one, and all the other numbering is adjusted accordingly. Still on the page 10, after the Green Party California supports the following demand too, new number one, support moratoriums on the commercialization of GMOs, of cloned animals, and of their products, where and when that is possible, as a matter of grassroots democracy. Genetic engineering research should be confined to controlled environments like laboratories, greenhouses, and biodiversity. I'll repeat that.
I need to cut in. Shame, I'm sorry. No taker asks that an extra copy of these texts be provided. Does somebody have one that they are able to share now?
Yes.
That she can read along while you're reading.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, she just wants to get a handle on what's going on.
I'll repeat that again. New number one. Support moratoriums on the commercialization of GMOs, of cloned animals, and of their products, where and when that is possible, as a matter of grassroots democracy. Genetic engineering research should be confined to controlled environments, like laboratories, greenhouses, and biodiversity. Okay, the old number one, which is now the new number two, in line three, in front of GM food products, put the word proposed. And in front of food, put also the same word proposed. And delete before marketing as allowed. So the new number two, which was the old number one, would be mandate safety tests
including for toxicity and allergenicity and epidemiology studies of at least 3 years duration or two generations of the species involved, whichever is longer, for all proposed GM food products and proposed foods from cloned animals to form the basis for the human health impact statement, full stop. Then all the rest of the stuff relates back to the safety statement is the new number two. The item one has been changed to item two in the rest. And that's it. Oh, there's another change in the old item 15. After local level, as a matter of grassroots democracy.
One more time.
So the new 17, which is the old 15, becomes opposed any legislation that would prevent local governments from regulating GMOs and cloned animals at the local level as a matter of grassroots democracy.
And the timeline says this is the first General Assembly consideration of this plank. Do we have concerns or objections to the GMO plank as it stands? I see two objections on the floor.
Okay. If you could...
Would you like to go on record with your objections?
No,
or write them down?
No, no, no. You have to give me written...
So you do submit written, and do they submit suggestions?
Yes,
and Shane directly.
Yeah. So if you could write down your objections and any alterations to me, then that will go into the next iteration, which may be tomorrow, or it could be at the next plenary.
I do see a point of process from Michael Bornstein. Michael?
Yes. Consent calendar, we allow the people with objections to approach the presenter sometime between now and tomorrow morning, and we'll bring their consent calendars back on Sunday morning if there's a chance that those consents can be assuaged. So Shane can bring this back tomorrow if you folks can approach him during dinner and maybe work out your concerns.
Okay. Do we have one more? I think we have an amnesty claim. Do we have a presenter on that? Amnesty is still on the consent calendar, don't you? Okay, go ahead.
The amnesty proposal comes to you through the good county council and good Greens of Napa County, and they brought it through Grove because, like the impeachment, that this is one of the few political parties, if not the only political party in the United States, that's voted to impeach. We also would like to offer amnesty to any soldier that refuses to fight in what I think everybody in this room may consider a very illegal war. The reason it has come
Michael,
to...
Michael, ask consent calendar, do we need this discussion?
No.
It's a great tabling tool, and we hope you would consent to it. Read the second little paragraph that says it all.
Okay, terrific that you're proud of it. Do we have outstanding concerns or disagreements with this? There are two, so do consult with him sometime before it's brought back.
Yeah,
all right, thank
you. Give me the time, we'll try to work it out.
Okay, we are at what turns out to be the really hot stuff on the presidential ballot and how it shall work. I personally, as a facilitator, kind of had to tune out for some of this. Craig, do you have a point of process?
Point of process, there was supposed to be an announcement of the last call of the ballot.
And now would be doing, okay, Craig, I must tell you, I still have my ballot. Is there anyone who has a ballot and is ready to bring in to Craig? Go ahead and take this time to do that. We'll check your delegate card. Okay, what's the cripple freckle? Could it be that the staff mic is on?
Turn it off.
Okay, that doesn't seem to have fixed it quite yet. Hey, does anyone remember back in the last time we were in Fullerton when we were addressing the gay rights plank?
Okay,
delegates. Yeah. Does anyone remember when the church service was going on in the room next door and the hellfire and brimstone was coming to our speaker as we were dealing with them?
I am.
I have a point of process for the board.
If you give him this microphone, it's very distracting to hear this distortion.
Okay, let's go ahead and see if that helps. We have been trying to correct it back here with the balance because it only just began. We've been doing this all day.
But maybe if we turn the mics off there, we don't need them and just put them on this mic.
Let's go ahead and give it a try. That means there won't be a stack on the floor.
Well, I mean, we can do that later. Better.
I have to work from up here.
Fine.
We need a call for it.
Okay, item number two. At the May 2007 San Francisco plenary, it seems so long ago. The General Assembly passed by almost consensus policies and procedures related to the selection and conduct of our GPCA delegates at the GPUS nominating convention. And I have copies of that here, which I also want to distribute again. Each item is 4 pages, double-sided. It is very important that at least one person from each county, to the extent copies are available, take this back, look at it, because the counties are going to be responsible for providing delegates in the event that candidates do not select their slates. There are other rules and procedures. Again, take these, take them home with you, read them. It's not part of this proposal right today, but it's very much connected and related to it. It's 4 pages, double-sided. They're collated. They are not staples. Okay. What I am going to do... is make essentially a report from campaigns and candidates working group, which then will be made into a proposal. And for all of our information, I want to start by reading from the California Secretary of State's website, which describes the qualifications for being a candidate for president on a primary ballot. Must be a natural born citizen of the United States, at least 35 years of age, and a resident of the United States at least 14 years. These are U.S. constitutional provisions. There are 2 methods by which a person may have his or her name placed on the ballot as a presidential candidate in the February 5th, 2008 presidential primary election. 1, by the Secretary of State as a generally recognized candidate or by circulating nomination petitions. Generally recognized candidates. The Secretary of State announces the names of individuals She is determined to be generally advocated for or recognized throughout the United States or California as actively seeking the nomination of various parties, including the Green Party. Criteria for determining generally recognized candidates include, but are not limited to, being generally recognized as seeking and advocated for the office, qualifying for federal matching funds, appearing in public opinion polls, canvas forums, debates, etc., being on the ballot in other states' primaries, actively campaigning in California, having a campaign office in California. The Secretary of State may also rely on advice and input from the state party chair. And that is what this proposal is about. This last category, in the past two presidential election cycles, the party has submitted requests, recommendations for its presidential primary ballot, and those have been accepted by the Secretary of State. So what we do today, if successful, will in all likelihood create the list for presidential primary ballots in February 2008, with the caveat that both under the proposal and under the Secretary of State's procedures, any candidate so listed and notified, who then notifies the Secretary of State that they want to withdraw their name, will have their name withdrawn. Now,
there's a technical problem. Just hold on one second. There's still static.
The campaigns and candidates working group undertook beginning with email discussions the end of June and our teleconference in July and a further email discussion on our email list and further discussions by teleconference in August to address the situation of how and who does this party put on its presidential primary preference ballot. And so a process proposal was submitted on by the July 15th deadline, which is about the same time there was a candidates forum occurring at Ready Pennsylvania GPUS annual national committee meeting. Based on the candidates who had presented themselves at that meeting and some others who had announced an interest or intention to run either publicly or to the GPUS Presidential Search Committee, we prepared a report. I prepared a report. It was submitted and discussed in our working group. It was amended. Additional information was provided through some comments. A draft of the report was also submitted to the California GPUS delegates email list. Some comments were received from that. And basically, the report that's in the agenda packet is the consensus of the campaigns and candidates working group via teleconference, which is admittedly a small number of people because we all have participation responses, and so does this committee, both on email and participation in our teleconferences, but it was nonetheless a consensus decision of six people on the telephone conference after discussion, some modification, and that's the report dated August 9th that is in your agenda packet. Now, obviously, things continue to happen. I got contacts from various people, mostly people who were not listed. We attempted some continuing communications with the recommended candidates. In July, the end of July, I also sent emails to contacts for Cynthia McKinney and Ralph Nader because it was obvious that they were of interest as candidates for our party, both in the state and nationally. But neither of them had declared their candidacy or availability on our ballot at this time. And that situation has changed for both of them recently. I would like to ask Kat Woods to step forward and describe communications she has received from Ralph Nader or his representatives, whichever they are. And that mic or this one, whichever you need.
Hi. I've talked to Ralph Nader himself several times this summer, and also I've been in regular communication with his people in D.C. This morning, so this morning I received authorization to say this is my understanding from Ralph. Ralph is flattered to be considered for the GPCA primary ballot. While he has not yet decided whether to run, he does not object to being included in the GPCA's list of selected candidates for the primary. And I just want to add, there's a very good, politically valid reason why Ralph can't declare yet. I can't say what it was. It would destroy the opportunity that would be so politically valuable, but I can say it's not about self-interest, it's not about personal convenience, it's not about party infighting. It's like actually about real politics in the world. Thanks.
Now, in the discussions in the campaigns and candidates working group, our criteria for putting names of candidates on a recommended list was, did appear that they were obvious Greens and were appropriate representatives of the Green Party based on their party participation, the principles they were articulating, and those general kinds of things. And our perspective was we wanted to have those people on our California ballot as inclusively as possible to give the voters in that primary election the maximum opportunity to indicate their preferences because, again, because of the procedures we passed last May, our delegates will be bound on the first ballot at the nominating convention consistent and with and proportional to the primary election results. So in our discussions, the question of Ralph Nader and Cynthia McKinney also came up, and our discussions were that if they indicated an availability to be on our California ballot by the time of this plenary, that they would be added to the recommended list. So at this time, I am amending the proposal to include Ralph Nader on the recommended list. This is consistent with CCWG discussions about this proposal. I'm not doing this on my own. This is consistent with the decisions internal to our working group. Now, secondly, I have received communication from Cynthia McKinney, which I will not read entirely, but I will read portions. This is dated September 1st, although I did not receive it until Thursday. Dear Green Party of California, it is my understanding that at its upcoming General Assembly to be held September 8th through 9th, 2007, in Riverside, California, the Green Party of California will be considering whom it will recommend to the California Secretary of State for placement on the February 2008 California presidential primary ballot. This letter is to communicate my desire that my name be included as part of this consideration for the purposes of seeking the Green Party nomination for President of the United States. In addition to entering the California Green presidential primary, I plan to seek placement of my name on the primary ballot in every state where the Green Party has such standing, and in general to seek the Green Party nomination in every state and nationally by whatever process is applicable. And there are additional comments. I should indicate that Hugh Esco of the Green Party of Georgia has been a longtime Green Party contact with Cynthia McKinney and a supporter of her personally, but also one of among others who have been encouraging her to make the statement she has made today. In our discussions with the CCWG, we agreed that she had sufficient progressive history and credentials as a candidate, and that in fact if she made the statement of the kind I've just read, that she should be added to the recommended list. Now, the one objection to her has been made, well, some people want her to declare herself a member of the Green Party clearly and forcefully, in addition to what I have just read you. People should understand that the state of Georgia does not have a party affiliation process until you get to the primary election, number one. Number two, there's no denying that Cynthia McKinney was elected as a Democrat over a number of years. It's also clear that we as a party have a long-time policy of trying to convince progressive Democrats to change their party affiliation. The additional piece of information I have is that in Georgia, party membership is by application, written application to the political party that is kept as an internal document of the political parties. And I'm informed as today, and I'm confirmed by a copy of document via PDF, which appears in all respects to be genuine and trustworthy from CUSO, that in fact Cynthia McKinney applied to be and was a member of the Green Party of Georgia as of December 21st, 2003. I'm further advised by Mr. Esso that the process of that party is that when the application is received, then the person becomes a member of the Green Party of Georgia under its internal rules. So I am, with these considerations, I am also adding, consistent with CCWG discussions, the name of Cynthia McKinney to the recommended list. Now, that list now is Jared Ball, Elaine Brown, Jesse Johnson, Kent Mesplay, Kat Swift, Ralph Nager, Cynthia McKinney, and I would ask that we proceed by consensus process to determine whether this General Assembly will affirm that these are the names that should be reported to the Secretary of State of the State of California as the names requested by this body to appear on the Green Party of California's presidential primary ballot February 5th, 2008.
Okay, do we begin the discussion with clarifying questions?
Yes, and I would just like to answer them as they come up. And I would like people to know that I'm seeing impaired, my hearing is good, but if I'm not looking at you, it's not intended for any purpose.
Just for the record, could we please go ahead and establish what time it is and how long we'd like to take on each part of this discussion?
8 minutes of four.
Okay, so we're coming up on 4 o'clock, and would we like the concerns to go, I mean, to, this is questions, correct? So 10 minutes for the questions, is that even close to being enough time? Because remember, we have questions, we have concerns and affirmations. I have a movement from the floor.
Yeah, I would suggest that you consider asking for a stack and closing the stack at that point, and then just making that time, giving them a maximum of 1 minute, but then closing the stack at that point. I'm not personally offering 30 seconds, I don't believe that we can have people state their thoughts successfully, and then we often wait 30 seconds.
Well, for questions, I think 30 seconds could be adequate. For this particular stack, do we have more people who are interested in taking the stack?
Just
clarifying questions, thank you. We'll close the stack at this time.
Just a reminder, these are for questions, they're not for statements.
Okay, we'll begin in 30 seconds. Thank you so much.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. I have two questions. One, has
Have you received a resignation from the Democratic Party from Cynthia McKinney, or do you know the existence of such a document?
No.
Okay. Second question. Does your proposal, as I understand it, allow for a vote on each person as an individual to, before it's placed on the ballot?
No.
Okay, that's time is up. Thank you.
S.K.C. and Curry will be replacing Dick Cheney soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Did Ralph Nader ever register as a Green?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to ask.
Any response to that?
Matt Leslie, Orange County. Two quick questions. One, is there anything that would prevent Cynthia McKinney from running on our primary ballot based on the fact that she is presumably formerly registered Democrat? Is there a time period that needs to be passed before she can run as a Green on our primary ballot?
Not for a presidential candidate.
Thank you. My second question is, should Ralph Nader decide that he is not running, is there sufficient time for him to request that his name be removed from the ballot between now and the time that the ballot is prepared?
Through the end of November.
Thank you.